This is Jeff Hacker and Peter McKercher. Say hello, Peter.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Thursday, July 10th, 2014. We're actually going to break the barrier and talk to a Vaughn family relative. This was, he went through the hierarchy of the genealogy of his three, the three brothers and so forth. So let me put you on hold, and I'm going to call him now. Hopefully he'll answer. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Give me one sec. Are you there, Peter?
I am.
Okay. I'll say hello and introduce you and so forth. Excuse me.
Hello.
Hey, thank you again for letting me call you back, Michael.
Very good.
And I've got my good friend Peter McKercher on the phone. Peter is the one of the officers of the Singer Owners Club, and has he and his father actually have been part of that the Singer's Owner Club for more than 50 years, I think, Peter. Is that right?
Wow. Yeah, that's probably close to it. How are you, Michael?
Very good.
Yeah,
hold on.
Very nice to hear from you.
Hold on. I got to get someplace where I can hear a little bit better. Excuse me. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's very nice to hear from somebody actually closely related to William.
He's
been looking for information for a long time. He's kind of an elusive character, it seems.
Okay.
I don't know if that's by design or...
You're primarily interested in stuff relating to Singer?
Well, really about Bill Vaughn. I know pretty much all about the Singers, but anything you can shed light on in that respect is great. But I've been looking for information on Bill Vaughn, frankly.
Okay. Well, Bill was my uncle. My dad, Evan, was the older son.
Yeah.
Bill was the middle son, and then there was a younger son, Forrest.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bill wound up in the car business in New York, and I don't know much about how he got there from Cleveland, but anyway, he was there. I first met him probably around 1946 or 7.
Was he in the car business then?
Yes. We were living in California, and we moved to Syracuse, New York. My father took a job there at the University of Syracuse, and we went down to visit. My first trip to New York, and he had the showroom on Broadway, and I don't know what all he was selling. I know he sold several different foreign makes throughout the years.
Yeah.
And probably went down there a couple of times. We moved up to Toronto in 1950. Came back in 55, moved into North New Jersey, so had a much closer relationship with him then when I was a teenager. Saw him fairly frequently for holidays and all. He was still in the car business, but not the same as he had been before.
What date was that?
It would be 55 to on until he died in 73.
He stayed in the business.
He was in the business, but I can't remember when he got out fully.
Yeah.
He was in the business in 1955. At some point, he did get out.
Yeah.
And he had various foreign makes that he sold. Singer was one. He did sell others.
What did he do before? You were telling me before, Michael, a little bit about the family that he came from. You said that they lost everything in the Depression in 1929.
Well, they lost something. I don't know all the details. They were pretty well off before the Depression, and afterwards they were not as well off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know a lot of the details on that.
And he was married just one time, is that
correct?
Okay.
Yes.
He
was married to a gal from Nebraska named Laverne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. School teacher.
And, well, I can't. Yes, she was, but she was also a showgirl.
Oh, yeah.
And he did travel with her, you know, the whole vaudeville circuit in the 30s.
Yeah, he started. He was in a number of plays, apparently, but I can't nail down exactly which one.
He was interested in acting. He was involved in Broadway. He was an understudy to one of the big names at the time for some show, and I can't remember the details, but that was probably the 30s or the 40s.
Yeah, Counselor at Law, I think, was the play.
It may have been.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Paul Muni or something like that.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My memory ain't all that bad for a 14-year-old. he had the showroom on Broadway. I remember going down there, driving around in convertibles, everybody looking at the cars, because foreign cars were a big deal back then. They were a real rarity.
Yeah.
And he had a place. He lived in upstate, not upstate, but in
Irvington.
Irvington. He lived in the carriage house for an old mansion up there.
He lived in the carriage house?
A carriage house, and it was a good-sized carriage house.
Yeah.
As so Saul reported.
He wasn't the primary resident then?
Yes, that was his house.
Okay.
And he eventually bought the manor house and turned it into apartments.
Okay.
And then they sold those. But he kept the carriage house. His widow kept it and eventually sold it. And that was quite a nice place. It had stalls downstairs for 4 to 6 horses, and it was full of junk that he had accumulated over the years, including a few cars.
Interesting.
Anyway, he was selling a number of cars. Different manufacturers.
He sold Fiats in 1947.
Yeah.
And he signed on with Singer in 1949 as their exclusive distributor. And he actually brought in probably two-thirds of the cars that the British company sold over the next 5 years. So he sold the majority of cars.
Yes, he also sold something called a Go-Go Mobile.
Oh, really?
Which I think was Italian. It was a three-wheeled car. The door was in the front. The whole front of the car opened up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a three-wheeled thing. I don't think it ever went very far in this country.
No, I wouldn't think so.
And around 1947 or 8, he sold my father a Hillman.
Oh, yeah.
Lucas Electric, the worst damn electric system ever invented. Absolute piece of crap.
Yeah.
Anyway. Trust me, it was. Because later on, when I was in college, I got a secondhand Nash Metropolitan from him, which was basically in Austin.
Yeah.
That also had a Lucas Electric system. Very unreliable. Anyway.
So what kind of a character was Bill?
Bill was a good guy. He'd give you the shirt off his back. He would entertain you. He'd give you anything he had. He'd share anything he had. He grew up in the Depression, moved to New York at a time when people, would pool their assets.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody had a job and had a few bucks, he'd buy dinner for everybody.
Really?
And they'd fix it communally, wherever they were, whoever apartment they were in.
Yeah.
He was in the theater crowd. He knew tons of people in New York. He knew everybody in the theater business. He knew everybody down around Greenwich Village.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little apartment off Greenwich Village just near Washington Square over the bar. And I'm trying to think of the name, Jack Delaney's or something like that, named after a boxer.
Oh, yeah.
He got that under World War One. Rent control for $35 a month.
No kidding.
He was still paying for that in the 1960s.
Wow.
That it was like gold. That was an investment.
Yes. Unbelievable. He knew everybody down there. He could go into any restaurant in Little Italy down there, go back to the kitchen, pick out what he wanted. He knew everybody.
Really? Assuming he met Laverne on the circuit.
Pardon me?
I'm assuming he met Laverne on the circuit when he was an actor.
Yeah. Well, he traveled with her in the vaudeville circuit. You know, the train here, there, and everywhere, different place every night. And then he was in acting. He knew everybody, on a lot of people in Broadway.
Yeah.
He had various parts in various productions. Of course, with the car business, he had a very prominent position. He had the showroom right on Broadway. Foreign cars when they were a rarity.
Yeah.
He tells stories going into Europe right after World War II. One of the things he swears by, and I don't know if this is true, the first contract she didn't see it. The reason I don't know.
Michael, I can't actually. I'm not sure we can hear you right now. It's all. I'm only hearing fractions of words. Peter,
okay,
can you hear him?
Sorry.
No.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
That's better.
I don't have a lot of bars here. Let me go see if I can find a better reception.
That sounds good.
Hold on.
You're sounding better now. Where were you?
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yep, that's great.
You were about to say something you weren't sure if it was true or not. That's where I last heard
he
you.
He had the first contract to sell Volkswagen in the United States.
Really?
Hmm.
Huh. Now, how long that lasted in the exact dates, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells stories about traveling in Europe right after the war into the Soviet-controlled areas.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to do contracts. One of the cars that he did import and sell was a Skoda, which was made
really?
In Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
You know, Skoda was a big industrial operation in Czechoslovakia. They made all kinds of stuff, munitions, automobiles, a lot of heavy industry. But he brought the Skoda in. Hmm. And he tells stories about dealing with the Russians, with Russian troops, and drinking Slivovitz with them and getting them drunk and getting away from them. Just incredible stuff. I mean, stuff that you cannot believe.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Just fine.
And, so that must have been around 46 or so.
There's somewhere between 46 and 47 is my guess. You know, when I heard these stories, I was about 14 years old. And they were told around the dinner table. They were told over drinks before dinner.
Yeah.
You know, I paid attention to some of it, but not all of it. And, but all kinds of wild stories about traveling in Europe. Now,
oh, for sure.
He did have dealerships for multiple foreign automobiles.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, he had a business partner.
Hello?
We lost him again.
We lost you, if you can hear us. I think it just cut off. Let's see. Yeah, we lost him. All right, let me try again.
Hold on.
Hold on, Missy, there?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hold on, wait a minute. This thing went on speakerphone. Hold on. Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Hold on. I'm not getting good reception here. Let me see if I can find something better. Hello?
Yep.
Hello? That sounds good.
Okay. Anyway, he just tells all these...
No, we're losing you again.
Yeah, we can't hear you. Hello? Hello? Okay, we lost him again.
Sounds like it.
Hello? Can't hear anything.
No, background echoing or anything. Bloody cellular phones.
Well, I'll try him here again. I'm not sure if I can hook up with him or not. Let me try the phone here again. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay. Yeah.
You still there?
Yep.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
That's fine.
Bad reception or something.
You were about to say something about a business partner.
Where did I lose you?
Well, I only heard that he had a business partner.
Yeah, he had a business partner that screwed him over. And
oh, yeah.
This is all stuff that I heard kind of secondhand.
It wasn't Monroe Gretzky, was it?
I don't know who it was.
Okay.
And I don't know the exact time frame.
Okay.
But Bill had collected a couple of handguns in his travels, which he had. And his partner turned him in on that because New York has this very, very restrictive handgun law, and they've had it for years. And he got convicted on that. I don't think he never served any jail. But because of that, he was unable to do some kind of a front.
He was
his partner got a lot of what he had.
When was that in his career, do you think?
I don't know exactly. My guess is it was probably the late 40s or the early 50s.
Okay, because he was still, when you said you were gone until 55 then, right?
Yes.
So his partner was gone for a few years at that point.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the time frame on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was still a teenager when I heard all this kind of stuff, and, you know, it wasn't particularly important to me at the time. You know, I don't know the time frame on any of that.
That's fine. Peter?
So you have really no idea of how he got from the theater business to the car business?
Well, he was in both, I think, simultaneously. He was in the car business and he was in the theater at the same time.
Interesting. I wonder if he had some friends high up in the theater business that helped foot the bill for the car business.
That I don't know. I don't know about, you know, the business end, the financing, or any of that.
Did you have any good memories or interesting memories going to car shows with him or going to, I know
never
he raced?
Never did any of that, no.
Race cars or any of that kind of stuff?
No. I know, you know, I got to ride around New York City in a car a couple times when I was quite young.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, nothing really involved with that. By the time I was getting older and going to college, he was pretty much out of the car business.
Right.
Yeah.
Were there other nephews that he also spent time with?
I don't think so. There were a couple of others. One's dead, one's still alive in Florida, but he didn't spend much time with them, no.
So you were kind of the one in the family that spent the most time with him?
Well, we were the closest, yeah, because we lived right across the river from New York for a while.
When Laverne, you mentioned to me that Laverne came to live near you in Texas.
Yes.
When did she pass away? How many years ago?
2001.
It's been a good 10 years.
Okay, so she lived
quite... 2001.
Pardon?
2001, I think, is when she passed away. She was 96 or 97.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there? You said that you thought that she might have some of the, she might have had some of the photos and such from back then.
I don't know if she had anything, and I don't know. I didn't get any of it. My sister handles her estate. I can call her and find out if she's got anything related to photos and all. I think a lot of that stuff probably got left in New York because she moved. They got rid of the carriage house. Oh, God. I don't know the exact time. And then she moves into a residential complex in New York City. And she went from there to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
She did not bring a lot of stuff with her when she came to Texas because she basically went into a nursing home arrangement.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. One of the... Hello?
Hello.
Yeah. One of the cars that that he was selling. He had it on display in 1954 at a big show in New York.
And, I can barely hear you here.
One of the cars that he had, it might even be one of the ones that you drove in, it was a Fiat 1100. He was calling it the Vaughan Special, or VSS Wildcat, I think. It surfaced, and there's a fellow in Calgary, Canada, that's restoring it now. And there's a fellow in Calgary, Canada, that is restoring it now.
And okay. It was what kind of a car?
He called it the VSS Vaughan Supersport Wildcat. It was actually a Fiat 1100.
That doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a fellow restoring it now, and when it goes up for sale, I'm sure it'll be worth about $1 million.
Wow.
So well in excess of everything that Bill did in the 50s. He had some pretty wild cars. He seemed to have a penchant for the different and
yes.
the strange.
Well, I think he was way ahead of his time.
I think he was, too. He was really pushing fiberglass at the time. He was quite a marketing genius, I think. He was into affinity marketing before anybody was.
He was a good talker.
He was, I can imagine.
Oh, he was. He really was.
I've seen a lot of pieces by him in magazines. The one thing I always found strange, though, there was rarely a picture accompanying them. It was very, very hard to get a picture of Bill Vaughan.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Do you have any photos of him back then in your family?
I probably do, and I have to dig through a bunch of stuff to find them.
I've got one very good picture of him. He was handing the keys to a singer over to Phil Rizzuto, a baseball player at the time.
Yep.
And that's the
and
only
there was one very famous boxer in the 50s and 60s that he sold a car to.
Michael, somehow the keys are getting pressed on your phone. Hello?
Yeah, it's probably because I'm pushing it against my ear.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. It's just the keys are being pressed when you're talking, that's all.
Well, it's a damned iPhone.
You're doing pretty good right now.
Your ear and you press things.
Yeah,
that happens.
You're doing just fine. Do you have we've got some things we could send you via email. Do you use email at all, Michael?
Oh yeah.
Is it okay to get your email address? I'll send you some photos that we have of him.
Yes.
And the plus,
yes.
I'll send you our website and all too. What's your email address?
It's M as in Michael, S as in Sam, V as in Valentine, F as in Fox, W as in
W.
Worth. TX is in Texas at AOL.
Okay, I'll just send you a quick email tonight just to see if if you can answer back, then I'll know we've got the right email address.
Very good. I've got a picture or two of him somewhere. I've got to dig through a lot of old photographs. I can check with my sister and see what she may have gotten from Laverne.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we've got some neat pictures. You know, he was on the cover of at least one magazine. Actually, his car and his business. We've got photos of him racing. He seemed to be quite the adventurer, also in racing. He got some good action shots of him at different places.
Wow, that's a side of Bill never knew.
Well, as I say, via email, Peter and I can share that stuff with you. So we'd love to find film. You don't have any film of him, do you? Any old 8mm or anything with him?
No.
That's always fun to kind of catch. Not so much the car thing, but the personality.
Nothing. I got nothing like that.
Yeah. He and Laverne actually did a race together.
I think that's right. That kind of ringing a bell, yes.
In Sullivan County, Colquhoun races. And that was the first I'd heard of Laverne. I didn't know he was married at that point. I'd spoken to Monroe Gretzky, who was his business partner, one of his business partners, and Monroe said, no, he never married.
Yep.
So evidently he did.
Yes, they were married for a long time.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Interesting. I'm trying to think of anything else out there. Do you have any specific memories with him, or did you ever travel with him?
No, it was just, we saw each other we'd go over to his place for dinner occasionally. He'd be over for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Sometimes in between, that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent.
Oh, what did he do after he got out of Cars? If he got out of Cars in maybe the 60s, did he have another career after Cars?
I don't know what he was doing then. By that time, I was in college, and then I was off to medical school and kind of lost track, except, you know, when he got sick at the end. And I don't know what all he did.
Just curious. We're trying to fill in the gaps here and there. And Peter can send you some photos, some of the stories he's written also about
okay.
the research we've done with about because he was, like he was mentioning, it's very pivotal. He played a very significant role in foreign sports cars in post-war America. He really did.
Yep. Yeah,
and
he was a pioneer.
Yeah. He did the equivalent in today's dollars of about $50 million worth of business.
Wow.
Over the space of about 5 years.
Wow, who would have known?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was a kid. I was a little kid when all this was going on. So, but yeah, he did very well in New York for a while.
Are there any non-relatives that might have other stories too about Bill? Anyone that, because it's pretty long ago now, but there might be someone that you might know who would be good to talk to as well.
Let me talk to my sister. She had the closest relationship with them because she was younger
mm-hmm.
When we were growing up and had a little bit closer. Let me talk to her.
Okay.
Excellent.
I don't know if she's got anything that she saved. She might have. Let me see.
Okay. Well, our job is to help celebrate all the things that he accomplished back in the 40s and 50s, and that's what Peter really is doing as the officer of the Singer Club, and this has been his personal pursuit for, I don't know, 10 years, 5 years, however long you've worked on.
10 years at least, yeah.
At least 10 years tracking down information on your uncle.
Wow.
This last
that's
piece.
Incredible.
He's also written a book, which I hope he comes out again, on the history of Singer, and this new book that he's writing has a whole section based on the Singer North American history, and it'll talk prominently about your uncle. So anything you find from your sister or other people, we don't want to be a pest, but anything we find will find its way into a book to help document your uncle's significance in American car culture.
That's incredible. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and Peter, I'll copy you on the email so that you can correspond directly also with Michael.
Excellent.
I'm gonna put in the press release photo that Peter and I found, which was the first picture we ever knew what he looked like. So I'll put some things in the email.
I'll go through the photographs, see what I can come up with. I'll talk with my sister, see what she's got, and maybe put you in touch with her.
Okay, yeah, there's no rush. I mean, a couple weeks, if that's too soon, then a couple months, whatever you'd like, Michael. We're just honored.
Be together with her in a couple of weeks. Going to have a mini family reunion.
Terrific. Well, we may have some things we can head to you via email for your family reunion that some of the cover photos and such.
Oh, we'll definitely get something out to you, something you can talk about at the reunion.
Sounds great.
Great. Well, Peter, is there anything else tonight?
No, that's good. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us out of the blue like that. It really helps in my research, certainly. So thank you very much.
Well, you know, it's weird when something comes like that. After all these years, all the clouds roll back and you're right back there.
Exactly.
Well, if we can get you to Tampa or to Canada, Peter's up in, where are you in Canada again?
Ottawa.
Ottawa. So I'm conference calling Peter in from Ottawa, Canada, and then I'm in Tampa, Florida, Michael. So,
you guys are separated.
Well, all three of us, but we might, Peter's got a big event always every year in Stowe, Vermont.
Stowe, Vermont, yeah.
Yeah, Stowe, Vermont.
I used to love to ski in Stowe.
It's a great hill.
Yeah.
Really nice
it
hill.
It is.
And a beautiful little town.
And then I moved to Texas and ski Colorado and got spoiled.
Oh, jeez. Well, I've never done Colorado.
If you can ski Stowe, you can ski any place.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good hill.
Oop, hope we got the phone call. Anyway, Michael, we'll send you an email, follow up, and then hope to talk to you in a few weeks.
Very good.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay.
For your interest.
Thanks. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Peter, I'll call you right back.
Okay.